Nusallimu ala rasulihil karim wa ala alihi wa ashabihi wa man tabi'ahum bi ihsanin ila yawmiddin. Faqad qala Allahu tabaraka wa ta'ala fil Qur'anil karim wal furqanil hamid. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wal fajri wa layalin ashr wa shaf'i wal watr wal layli idha yasr. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يا أيها الناس إن الله طيب لا يقبل إلا طيبا. صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم ونحن على ذلك من الشاهدين والشاكرين والحمد لله رب العالمين. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي امري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقهوا قولي. رب يسر ولا تعسر وتمم بالخير وبك نستعين يا فتاح ربنا زدنا علما. Believing brothers and sisters in Islam, Alhamdulillah, all praises for Almighty Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, Rabbul Izza Rabbul Alameen. All praises for Almighty Allah, the Lord of the worlds, the creator of the heavens and the earth, the creator of you and I. We praise and we thank Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala to the best of our abilities, and we try our best to check on the favors that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has given to us, recognize them and thank Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala for them inshaAllah. My dear respected brothers and sisters, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is very kind to the ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has blessed our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he has also blessed the ummah and the followers of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we should be grateful and thankful to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala for allowing us to live in such an era, in such a time, whereby we can make such a claim that we are followers of the Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. For many a times we will hear about the benefits in this world, about being from amongst the ummah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and inshallah also in the akhirat there are many benefits from being among the ummah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Not long ago, my dear respected listeners, we were in the month of Ramadan. Not long ago we were in the month of Ramadan, and Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala had increased the rewards of the believers. And we make mention of the month of Ramadan, my dear respected brothers and sisters, because Ramadan is something in every Muslim's memory. Ramadan is something whereby we always remember our training. And if we cannot remember our training, that means something is wrong with us. Because our training of ibadat and our training of doing worship to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is directly involved with our objective on the face of the earth with regards to worshipping Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. And wama khalaqtul jinna wal insa illa liya'budun. I have not created mankind, nor have I created the jinnat except that they worship me, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala says in Al-Quran. And alhamdulillah, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala gave us the month of Ramadan. Immediately after the month of Ramadan, we started the month of Shawwal. We started the month of Shawwal, and we are presently in the month of Dhul-Qa'dah, and thereafter will be Dhul-Hijjah within a week's time inshallah. My dear respected brothers and sisters, concerning the month of Dhul-Hijjah, the month that is coming, it is a month, a very virtuous month also, particularly a few days from the month, the first 10 days of the month of Dhul-Hijjah. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam spoke about these days. And according to the commentators of the Holy Quran, in the last juz of the Holy Quran, the last chapter, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala in Surah Al-Fajr, he mentions about the virtues of the first 10 days of the month of Dhul-Hijjah. We as believers, just as we waited in anticipation for the month of Ramadan, likewise also inshallah, we wait with great anticipation for these 10 days that are about to come. Because alhamdulillah, we know that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, he multiplies the rewards of the believers. And Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is very, very generous. He gives us rewards and he looks for excuses to give human beings, especially the believers specifically, rewards, my dear respected brothers and sisters. And these 10 days that are coming up, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to multiply blessings. In Al-Quran, the Holy Quran, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Wal Fajr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by the break of dawn, Wal Fajr, Walayalin Ashr. According to Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, Wal Fajr, this break of dawn, refers specifically to the Yawm al-Nahr, the day of sacrifice, the 10th day of the day of the 10th day of the month of Dhul-Hijjah, Walayalin Ashr, and by the 10 nights. By the 10 nights, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is swearing and taking an oath, Wal Fajri Walayalin Ashr, by the 10 nights, Washaf'i Wal Watar, by the odd and by the even. By the odd and by the even, according to Hadith Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, again he mentions the odd refers to the ninth of Dhul-Hijjah that is about to come inshallah, the day of Arafah, washaf'i wal watar, and the even day refers to the tenth of Dhul-Hijjah, yawm al-nahr, the day of sacrifice, wal layli idha yasr, and the night when it passes by, and the night when it passes by. هَلْ فِي ذَلِكَ قَسَمٌ لِذِي حِجْرٍ. Is it not in this qasam? Is it not in this oath that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taking? Is it not enough for persons who are intellectual to understand from that and recognize Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes oath by these 10 days that we are coming about and the 10 nights. In the hadith of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the traditions of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it mentions concerning these 10 days that there are no 10 days in the year wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves the ibadat of Allah more than these 10 days that are about to come. There are no 10 days in the year that is more beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with respect to ibadat of Allah and worship of Allah than these 10 days. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam further mentioned that fasting one day in out of these 10 days, a person will get 1 year's reward, the amount of 1 year fasting. And he has also mentioned that each night of the 10 nights of the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, a person who wakes up in ibadat, inshallah, for every night, they will get the reward of Laylatul Qadr. Laylatul Qadr, my dear respected brothers and sisters. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions this in the Holy Quran. He swears by these 10 nights. And we as Muslims, we should try our best inshallah and make intention that when these 10 nights come and when these 10 days come, we will try our best to fast in the day and we will try our best to make effort in the night, wake up for tahajjud salah, read some extra Quran, make a little extra dhikr, because we know it is something more beneficial inshallah in those particular nights as opposed to the other nights. And of course right now we also train ourselves that we try to wake up 3 o'clock in the morning, we try to wake up 4 o'clock in the morning inshallah, so at those specific nights wherein Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala he sends opportune times for the believers, inshallah our bodies will be accustomed to it and we will be able to wake up and take benefit of the rahmat and the mercy and the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. My dear respected brothers and sisters, all these opportune times that we are speaking about, the month of Ramadan and the first 10 days of Dhul-Hijjah, it's with regards to accumulation of good deeds. It is with regards to the amounting of good deeds that will help us in the next life, that would help us cross the bridge of Sirat, that would help us gain the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And though the traditions of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us that not even the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will enter into Jannah by his good deeds, but it is only by the rahmat of Allah, yet still the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has taught us that the good deeds that we can do, the good deeds that we do, it will be a means of obtaining the rahmat of Allah. It will be a means of obtaining the rahmat of Allah, whereby we, inshallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enter us into the Jannah. And we ask Allah to enter us into Jannah al-Firdaus, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. My dear respected brothers and sisters, therefore, we as Muslims, we have to look and see what are the impediments of accumulation of good deeds. We as Muslims, we have to look into our lives and do an accounting. with regards to our daily life and our daily schedules. What is it that we are doing as Muslims that could hamper our good deeds? What it is that we as Muslims are doing that could fortify our good deeds? Or are we as Muslims, my dear respected brothers and sisters, breaking down the mountains that we are building? One day we are going to fast and the next day we are going to backbite. One day we are going to fast and the next day we are going to lie. We are going to come for Salah in Jama'ah, and immediately after Salah in Jama'ah, we will sit in circles and start to backbite this one and start to backbite that one and start to make all sorts of complaints. My dear respected brothers and sisters, we as Muslims, we have to analyze our life in this world, and we have to understand that there are certain things that could break our mountains. The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he asked the Sahabas, do you know who is a bankrupt person? Do you know who is a bankrupt person? So the Sahabas mentioned, of course, Ya Rasulullah, the bankrupt person is that one. He has no mata', he has no beneficial things in this world. He has no money, he has nothing to benefit himself. The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, no, the bankrupt person is that one on the day of judgment. He comes with mountains and mountains of good deeds. He comes with mountains and mountains of good deeds, but he has wronged this one, and he has cursed this one, he has beat this one, and he has killed that one. Such a person is a bankrupt person, my dear respected brothers and sisters. And the moral of this tradition is that we as Muslims, we have to look and ensure that the mountains of rewards that we are building, we are not just taking it away. One day we are building up a mountain and the other day just taking a sledgehammer and crushing the mountain, my dear respected brothers and sisters. So there are certain factors, my dear respected brothers and sisters, that the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us can be great impediments and great obstacles in our way with regards to damaging our mountains of rewards and damaging and harming ourselves with regards to what takes place in our grave and what takes place in the akhirat. Some of them, as we have mentioned, with regards to cursing, with regards to hitting human beings wrongfully, with regards to stealing, with regards to backbiting, normal sins. The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us concerning the black dot that appears on the heart that we spoke about before. The Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us that these things are also impediments in our way. How is it an impediment, my dear respected brothers and sisters? Sometimes a person will just get an insight, a josh, an intuition that he wants to do something good. He wants to do something good, and alhamdulillah, listening to his inner self, he will do that good thing. It could be hidayat from Allah. It could be the angel that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has allocated to every individual that is trying to incite this person to do good. And alhamdulillah, when the person decides to do good, he will get good rewards. But sometimes when the heart is stained, my dear respected brothers and sisters, then it is difficult. It is difficult for our antennas of goodness to pick up that hidayat from the angels or from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, evil seems to be more susceptible to us, and it is more readily easy for us to do evil deeds. On the contrary, my dear respected brothers and sisters, it is very difficult to do good deeds when our hearts is rusted and tainted like that, my dear respected brothers and sisters. Other things that Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam has taught us about, that if in the Holy Quran Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states that if a person gives charity and afterwards he starts to reproach and afterwards he starts to speak about his favors that he has done to mankind, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, لا تبطلوا صدقاتكم بالمن والأذى. Do not make battle, do not nullify your charity, بالمن والأذى, by boasting about these things and then harming and rebuking people. I have fed you, how can you curse the hand that has fed you? Not with regards to our parents, who may rightfully tell us these type of things, but with regards to the normal charitable people, my dear respected brothers and sisters, with regards to the normal charitable people, if they say such things, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Al-Quran, he mentions that we as believers, we need to protect ourselves, protect the rewards that we may obtain from charity, and we are not allowed to do these things. Another great aspect the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned about, my dear respected brothers and sisters, which can be a great obstacle with regards to us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It can be a great hurdle for us to cross over with regards to reaching the mercy of Allah and reaching the guidance and the hidayat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And my dear respected brothers and sisters, that is with regards to the consumption of halal. That is with regards to eating of halal food. That is with regards to eating of halal food. And when we speak about eating halal food, my dear respected brothers and sisters, it will rest comfortably in many of our minds and many of our minds, many of the minds of the Muslims, that no problem, we all eat halal food. All Muslims eat halal food. So therefore, what is the big deal there? Nobody should even have a discourse about halal food. My dear respected brothers and sisters, if we were to investigate simply from the brothers of our own locality, we would see that the concepts of halal food are so variant that it is really that we as Muslims, we have to be careful. We as Muslims, we have to be careful from whom we eat and where we eat and what we eat. Whom we eat, my dear respected brothers and sisters, from what we eat and where we eat from. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Al-Quran, He mentions to the Anbiya alayhim wassalatu wassalam, Ya ayyuha rusul, kulu minat tayyibat wa'amalu saliha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentions to the Anbiya alayhim wassalatu wassalam, Ya ayyuha rusul, kulu minat tayyibat. Eat from amongst the good things. Eat from amongst the good things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has given to you all. And wa'amalu saliha, and do righteous deeds, do acts of righteousness. My dear respected brothers and sisters, the commentators of the Holy Quran, they deduce from this ayat of the Holy Quran found in Surah Al-Mu'mineen that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala addresses the Anbiya alayhim wassalatu wassalam, it shows the utmost importance of eating halal. It shows the utmost importance of eating halal. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, wa'amalu saliha. And on the topic of obstacles with regards to the hidayat and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the commentators of this verse mention, my dear respected listeners, that in this ayat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is indicating, if a person does not eat good, wa'amalu saliha, they will not be able to do acts of righteousness. If a person does not consume halal, then they will not be able to do acts of righteousness, my dear respected brothers and sisters, and it will hamper an individual with regards to doing good deeds. So therefore, doing good deeds will seem very far. The feelings will not be there with regard to doing good deeds. And sometimes a person asks himself, why am I not feeling to read Quran? Why am I not feeling to go to the masjid? Why is it that I may sleep away one day for Isha Salah and I may not come for Isha Salah at that particular time? And for every other night, I also feel like I should sleep away every Isha Salah and I should not come to the masjid. My dear respected brothers and sisters, it is important that we understand clearly. It is important that we understand clearly that we as Muslims, it is not proper that we put false suspicions on our Muslim brothers. It is as important as Muslims that we do not consider our Muslim brothers and sisters as deceptors and people who will deceive us, etc. And that is not the maqsad, and that is not what we are speaking about here. I narrate an incident of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ibn Abi Hatim, he mentions it in his tradition, in his compilation of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Once a woman sent milk to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It was a very hot, long day, and the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was fasting. So this woman, she sent some milk to the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he received the milk, he sent back the messenger and asked this woman, how is it that you obtained this milk? How is it that you obtained this milk that you sent to me? The messenger went back and asked this lady, my dear respected listeners. And she came back, and he came back with the answer that this woman had said, O Messenger of Allah, that she had bought this milk with her halal earnings. She had bought this milk with the halal earnings of herself. The next day this woman met the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Of course, which many a times also, as Muslims sometimes, if somebody asks us concerning our meat, concerning our poultry depot, concerning the food outlet that we may have, sometimes we may feel a bit hurt. Or is there a reason really to be hurt? Or is it sometimes maybe how someone may pose the question that might be wrong at the same time? But this woman, she also asked the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as to, why is it, O Messenger of Allah, that you have asked me something like this? The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned this very ayat, my dear respected listeners. Ya ayyuha rusul, kulu minat tayyibat. he mentions Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded the messengers that they have to eat from amongst the halal things. And if he is the messenger of Allah, then he has to go all out to ensure that what he is eating is halal. He has to go all out to ensure what he is eating is halal. Yes, he knew it is a Muslim woman who sent the milk. But the point is that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he did not want to hurt the feelings of this Muslim sister. But he was teaching us something, my dear respected brothers and sisters. He was teaching us something. And we as Muslims, we have to understand that firstly, it is not the intent of myself, my dear respected brothers and sisters, that we are now asked to cast doubt in every Muslim home that we sit down and eat, and we are supposed to ask them concerning their meal. That we are supposed to ask them concerning their meal. No, my dear respected brothers and sisters, this is not the intention. The tradition of Imam Bukhari, rahmatullahi alayhi, when the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he mentioned to the Sahabas, say Bismillah and eat. Say Bismillah and eat, which does not mean that we can take a haram plate of food with regards to haram chicken and say Bismillah and eat. It does not mean that. On the contrary, it means, my dear respected brothers and sisters, in the beginning of Islam, in the beginning of Islam, when the Muslims, Islam had really entered into their hearts, and when a Muslim had entered into Islam, when the Bedouin Arabs had accepted Islam, they would have done everything for the sake of Islam. Everything for the sake of Islam. So therefore, my dear respected brothers and sisters, the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he told them to say Bismillah and eat. In other words, do not question if this meat is halal. In other words, it is halal. It is halal. Maulana Anwar Shah Kashmiri rahmatullahi alayhi, he mentions that this is an answer ala uslub al hakim. It means, my dear respected brothers and sisters, that the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he was answering in such a manner, whereas not to create doubt in the minds of the Sahabas. Yes, alhamdulillah, you are eating in the house of a Muslim, say Bismillah and eat, as long as we know that Muslims are practicing. As long as we know Muslims are practicing and Muslims are careful. Muslims are careful, my dear respected brothers and sisters, about what they eat, how they eat, and where they obtain their meals from. Then mashallah, alhamdulillah, say Bismillah and eat. But my dear respected brothers and sisters, we are living in a different time. We are living in a different time whereby we have to be careful. Whereby we have to be careful. And I say this with moderation, my dear respected brothers and sisters. In the time of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when the laws concerning alcohol were revealed, when it was finally abrogated after the third revelation, the Sahabas, my dear respected brothers and sisters, they were willing to empty all their barrels of alcohol on the streets. The Sahabas, they were willing to empty all their barrels of alcohol on the streets. And so much so, the commentaries of these ayats mentions that day after day rain would fall and you would see the color of the alcohol flowing on the streets where the Sahabas used to live, my dear respected brothers and sisters. This was the time of the Sahabas. This was the time of the Sahabas. This was the time of the Iman, age of Iman. In our time, my dear respected brothers and sisters, you pass down the streets and you would see license to sell liquor, Mr. Muhammad, Mrs. Ali, Mr. Ali, and so on and so forth. My dear respected brothers and sisters, it does not necessarily mean that such people, are not particular about halal food. But it means, my dear respected brothers and sisters, that Muslims are becoming negligent. Muslims are becoming negligent. And again, not that we are trying to say that we start to turn to our Muslim brothers and sisters and think whether they are negligent. But my dear respected brothers and sisters, we have to think with an open mind. And we have to know that if a person is not particular about the laws of salah, a person is not particular about his salah, a person is not particular about the laws of Islam, and he's fornicating, committing adultery, etc., then with regards to the laws of halal, will he also be particular, or will there also be some discrepancies, my dear respected brothers and sisters? So the point only that we are making, my dear respected brothers and sisters, that we as Muslims, concerning this impediment with regards to our the hidayat of Allah, and the rahmat of Allah, with regards to what we consume, it will have a direct effect on our doing of good actions. We have to be very careful with what we consume also. We have to be very careful of what we consume. Some people, when they are asked concerning halal chicken, my dear respected brothers and sisters, as we were mentioning, if we were to ask every Muslim, can we halal a chicken? Everyone will say yes. Everyone will say yes. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, talabul ilmi faridatun ala kulli Muslim. That seeking knowledge is compulsory upon every Muslim. So therefore, if a Muslim says that he is a Muslim, he has to learn how to slaughter a chicken. He has to know the veins that has to be cut in the chicken in order for it to be halal. He cannot just tell himself, well, I saw another Muslim brother doing it like that, and I guess I'm supposed to do it like that, so therefore I'll just do it like that and the chicken will be halal. No, my dear respected brothers and sisters. Just as if anyone were to come into this masjid right now for the Jum'ah Salah, accepting Islam, not performing wudu, come into the masjid and perform 2 rakats. He can perform 200 rakats. His salah will not be accepted. La tuqbalu salatun bi ghayri tuhurin, the Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. That no salah will be accepted without purification. So therefore, a Muslim embraces Islam, then he's supposed to learn about taharat. Learn about taharat and then come to the masjid and perform the salah. Learn about what is essential, my dear respected brothers and sisters. And as important as salah is, it is important to know the laws of slaughter. It is important to know how to slaughter a chicken, my dear respected brothers and sisters. And it is important for us to find out, is this halal sign that I'm seeing on this restaurant, is it that these people really know what is halal? Am I going to put the trust in the non-Muslims when they put up the sign halal without verifying, and I'm just going to eat lavishly from these restaurants? My dear respected brothers and sisters, there was one restaurant owner, when he was asked, why is it that you have such a halal sign on your restaurant? Why is it that you have such a halal sign? He said, well, when I came to your country, the people, as we know, alhamdulillah, many people speak about the Muslims of Trinidad and Tobago. He said, when I came to your country, my friends told me that if I were to put halal on my billboard, on my sign, then many people will also flock to my restaurant and start to eat. And alhamdulillah, that is good for my sales. And any businessman wants his sales to increase. So therefore, my dear respected brothers and sisters, not that there is not any halal restaurants that we cannot eat. Again, my dear respected brothers and sisters, we have to be careful where we eat. We have to be careful where we eat, who we eat from, and we have to ensure as Muslim brothers and sisters that each and every single one of us know the laws of slaughter, know how to perform salah, and know all the other rights of Islam upon our own selves, upon our neighbors, and upon the entire Muslim community at large, my dear respected brothers and sisters. Least it should happen that after 40 years, my dear respected brothers and sisters, our neighbor has always been sending food over to us, and one day he were to come over to our house, sitting having a meal, and having a discussion about halal food, and this person never had the slightest idea that I had to say Bismillah, Allahu Akbar, when I used to slaughter the chicken. I thought it was sufficient enough that it was in my heart. And year after year, this person, my dear respected brothers and sisters, he used to be sending food to our homes. My dear respected listeners, again, inshallah, we'll finally mention what has been mentioned here. It is, inshallah, I may not have put it in proper perspective, but it is meant to be, my dear respected brothers and sisters, with regards to moderation, with regards to our putting our trust in our Muslim brothers and sisters. And at the same time, we as Muslims, we have to know where to draw the line, and we have to be precautious. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you and me the tawfiq to eat halal. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give you and me the tawfiq, inshallah, to remove the rust from our hearts, inshallah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq to do actions to remove such rust, so that when, inshallah, the 10 days of Dhul Hijjah come, we will also be ready to gain the benefits and the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.
Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allah.